I guess we can start. We're having a slide presentation this morning, so if you can't see the screen where you're at, be sure you move around so you can. Maybe some of you who are sitting way up in front here might want to move back a little bit, because it'll take the whole hour and you might be able to see it better. You'll take notes? Oh, I don't know. You want to take notes? Yeah. I suppose every instructor has a favorite lecture or something he does the best. And today I'm presenting to you my favorite, maybe not favorite, but maybe the most important contribution I can make to you or to any group of people, really. The presentation is a series of slides that have been taken mostly in the city of Seward of common, ordinary, everyday objects. And I show these to any age group. I've showed these to first graders, sixth graders, ministers, teachers, farmers, ladies' aides, architects, whoever wants to see them. It seems like they transcend any kind of age level, that there's something universal about the things that you'll see. And the reason I show these is to bridge the gap between the artist and the spectator. We all say that there's a credibility gap between the artist and the public. We don't understand what the artist is doing. We don't like modern art. So this is a teaching aid which I've devised over many, many years to bridge this gap. And I hope that after you've seen this presentation that you'll not only be able to understand what modern art is, but maybe to be able to participate a little more actively in seeing the way the artist sees. And the reason that there is a credibility gap between the artist and the spectator is that we don't see the way the artist sees. You know, sure, we live in the same world and we're confronted with objects, but do you really see the way he does? Maybe you see it one way and he sees it another way. And there could be many points of view. And so these are common, ordinary things like grass, flowers, weeds, seeds, sidewalks, wood. And most of the slides are taken in the city of Seward, and most of them in my backyard. My most recent series has to do with my kitchen, or our kitchen. How's that? The way the morning light comes into our kitchen, we have a window that faces east, and when I get up for first hour class, not this semester, first semester of first hour class, and when that morning light comes into that kitchen, it's really fantastic, the brilliance of the morning light and the dramatic effects that are created when the morning light hits the coffee pot or the refrigerator and all these common things that you see in the kitchen. I think you'll see what the purpose will be as we go along, and as you see the slides, I think you'll see the idea behind it. So does anyone know how to run that projector back there? Do you? Just put it on. I have the controls up here. There's a switch. Just pull a little black button up. And will you get the lights, please? Oh, will you put the plug in? A little white dot should be up. Yeah, and plug it in the wall back there. All right, put the lights out. I'm taping this for the second, for section B this afternoon, 1 o'clock. So, all right, the first slide is just a picture of a poppy, ordinary poppy. Next slide is a close-up of a dandelion, just ordinary dandelion that grows anywhere. And I followed this little gnat around for a long time and finally got him cornered. And I just took one shot, and it was kind of an accident that I got all that iridescence on the wings that way. I don't know what you think about when you think of dandelions. I think that many of you think that dandelions just pop open all at once overnight. But I just want to assure you that dandelions open one petal at a time. And this slide shows you this gradual, slow moving of nature. Nature isn't boom, boom, boom. Nature is alive and growing and constant. And there you see a dandelion in the process of becoming a dandelion. Many of the things that we look at, we see piecemeal. We look at the flowering trees in the spring and say, my, those flowers are pretty. And then later on, many months later, when the fruit is all nice and red, people say, my, those apples are nice and red. And how observant we are. But do you ever look at things in transition? What happens between flower and fruit? Nature is a constant thing. It goes on and on. Now, what comes into your mind when I say the word leaves? Leaves. Do you think of fall and people in the fall say, my, these leaves are so pretty, they're so red and so brown. Do you ever look at a leaf when it's becoming a leaf? In the spring of the year, in a few months, our leaves will look like this. Do you ever see a leaf when it's becoming a leaf? That part of nature is also part of nature. And this part of nature, would you call this ugly? Some people call this ugly. This flower, which is no longer a flower, and it's twisted, and it's changing, and there's a swelling underneath, and the fruit is becoming, and in the act of becoming a fruit. So there you have this kind of a form, and this is very important too, just to be able to see this. I call this series half fruit, half flower. You know, it's a transition. And maybe artists look at the totality of nature. And I think God's world is much more wondrous if you can think of his world as being an ever-changing, slowly moving form rather than bang, 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 you know, to enjoy it only when we want to enjoy it, you know. I think we ought to look at it more and be more aware of the change in nature. Now here's another. You know, the petals have fallen, but it's still nature. And it would be wrong to call this ugly. To call this ugly would be to call God's creation ugly. This is a bean growing in our garden in the spring of the year. And when we've had a little rain and when the ground is real crusted and hard, those beans really have to work to get out of the ground. But they do come, the ground splits up, and life does appear in spring. And this reminded me of the rolled-away tombstone at the resurrection. You know, the strength of life over against death. And I spent a whole year doing sculpture, and I still do sculpture based on the theme of the beans growing in Nebraska or the rolled-away tomb, the resurrection. Now, the next is a piece of sculpture, which is based on this bean growing. Next. This is a piece of sculpture called Victory. And it's made out of stainless steel, and it's not too high. It's kind of small, but there's that lump of earth on top, and there's that root going down, and all this energy underneath that lump and that little saber-like form, which is a leaf, and it's called victory. And it's nothing more than a plant growing out of the ground. You see, if you've never watched beans, this is meaningless to you. Next. This is just a kind of a humorous shot showing how the beans grow up on the string in the garden, how they twist and turn. Here's a series in our kitchen. This is just a top of the stove, and it's a coffee pot and a cup and a frying pan. Looks almost like Rembrandt in its nice, supple colors. Next. Just common, ordinary things on the countertop. And I want to say now that none of these objects have been prearranged, because people will say, well, you're an artist and you can make all these little still lifes and make things look pretty and make whatever arrangements you want. None of these objects were touched. In other words, I moved myself around to get the proper point of view. None of these have been arranged. This is just a shopping bag and a cup and Kleenex or whatever it is. Next. This I saw one morning before I ate breakfast. Just the knife. Not the knife, it's a fork. It's a fork with the morning light hitting it and creating this fantastic shadow. And look at that shape of that shadow. Isn't that a reality also, that shadow shape? If you look at paintings by Braque and you see some of these distorted forms, this reminds me of a lot of Braque paintings. But there is another reality of that shape, you see. It's beautiful. Fat. Next. This is my wife's laundry basket in the back porch one early morning. There you see this light blasting into all those little lines. Next. And she has some slips, starting some plants, and these are in the water. They just look weird when the morning light hits it like this. Next. This is the kitchen sink with the dishwater and just this plastic container in the sink. Next. Just grapes. And next. Pane of glass with some little plants. The little toys in the corner adds kind of a surrealistic look to the whole thing. Next. This is, imagine getting up for first hour class and coming into the kitchen and seeing this. Being, you know, awakened for the day by seeing this fantastic orange object on that marble top table and the way that light hits that thing. You know, it's like somebody hitting a Chinese gong, you know, it just knocks you out. Some people take drugs and to get turned on. And I claim that you can get turned on without taking drugs. And I think if you can see the world like this, and see this will really turn you on, or it could. Of course, drugs is an easy way out. You know, you don't have to do anything. And maybe looking is work. The dining room with the chairs in the early morning, it looks like this. Next, again, just some plants in the back porch. Very subtle, nice colors. Next. Just the hangers hanging in the back porch, bunch of them. Next. Cup of coffee sometimes even looks startling. Next. And the geraniums, and it just so happened that there was a little toy next to it. That little blue thing was a toy. It just happened to be there. And I took the picture because that blue happened to be there. And that blue really gives a little zip to the whole look. Next. Just oranges, you know, nothing special. Just a basket of oranges and early morning light. Next. We certainly have a wide variety of container shapes nowadays. And next, they look like people almost all lined up there. Again, the laundry basket with the socks in it. Next. And a laundry basket with a light coming through it. This is a shadow of the object. Next. This is the coffee pot shining against the refrigerator. Imagine this light coming into the window, hitting that coffee pot and creating this shadow against the refrigerator. You know, that will never come back, that look. You know, next morning I got up and looked for that halo or whatever it was. It wasn't there. And I realized that by then the whole universe had changed, the atmospheric conditions will never be the same, and that moment has disappeared and is gone forever. And what I'm saying is that you have to kind of send out your sensors and to be ready and waiting for these momentary effects that are very exciting. Now here's a series of slides of a metal cupboard in our kitchen. At the top is a drawer and the bottom two are doors. Well, I was eating breakfast one morning and I was the only one up. And I wanted to make a little visual excitement. So I just manipulated the doors a little bit. Now the next three slides are the same doors. Now you'll see it's the same morning, but the visual effect is different. You know, they're not the same. Now watch, just look at all the lines that you see and maybe squint your eyes down a little bit now and take a look. Look at the next one. There it is, same day, everything's the same. I just moved the doors a little bit. Next, look at the next slide now. You see, it's different. Look at the next slide. Same doors. Look at those little jet planes. So really, the object is not the important thing, but the effect, you know, the effect of it. Here's an interesting shape, kind of a swooping shape. And that's the light hitting the back of the handle of the refrigerator and bouncing back on the door. That's the handle that you see on the left here, and that's a reflection from the back of the handle. Yeah, look at that, beautiful, wouldn't be a nice design for a building. This fantastic thing is just the edge of the refrigerator door. The door was open a little bit and a morning light hit it, and lower right is a coffee pot again. And look at the stark light and dark effect that you have there. Next. These are the boxes that were piled up in the front porch for a long time. And the way that light hits the edges of those boxes, what a dramatic, interesting light and dark effect that you have. It looks so good, I just left them there for a long time. You know, I hated to move them. But so this says something about architecture, people who have designed buildings. That light does shine on forms and creates interesting patterns. Next. Light coming into the window and shining on a piece of furniture in a house. Next. The screen door in the back. Next. The light shining through a window. And the straight lines create curved lines. The lines on the curtain are curved, and the window mullions are vertical and horizontal. Straight things making curved things. It looks like water. Next. Here's water down in a city pool in the summertime. Seward pool. Now that's just one moment in time. Now the next moment those lines will have changed. Did you ever think that water looks like satin or that water has lines? Well, water is linear. Just look at all the slides we could take of the water and all the patterns we would get. It would be fantastic. Next. This is these are wonderful little shapes, rounded shapes. This is trapped air under ice in the gutter. You know, in the winter time when you can see all these things in the gutter as you walk to school, people step in them and tromp them down. This is a surrealistic painting. An artist who painted this landscape form using kind of round objects. Looks like rocks, doesn't looks like a city, but it's not a city. But it's kind of a fantastic looking painting. Reminds me of this, or this reminds me of The other painting. Anyone know what this is? Any idea what it is? This is a fender of a car in a body shop getting ready for a paint job. So as a guy grinds through the fender, through the different layers of paint, he uncovers and discovers all these little forms and shapes. Next. This is leather. Believe it or not, leather, when leather gets old and dries out, it dries out in a circular fashion. And these circular lines are the cracks in old leather. Now, why it dries out in a circular fashion, I don't know. But it's kind of interesting. Now, this I took out of Life magazine, and it's looking up a missile silo at Cape Kennedy. And those are, the different stories, I guess. And you look up, and this is what you see. This is an actual photograph at Cape Kennedy. Now, on the next slide, it's very much like this. I'm not saying that the painter was influenced by this picture in Life magazine. I'm just saying that there's a similarity between what we just saw and this painting I saw at the Sheldon Art Gallery recently. You see, the effect is similar. I'm not saying he's painting missile silos at all. This is a little seashell that one of my students gave me last semester, and the size of it is about the size of the fingernail on my small finger. I mean, that's the size of it. I took a close-up shot of it. But a lot of you are wearing op art dresses, you know, dresses with all these weird black and white patterns. Maybe somebody watched the seashell. Maybe that pattern always was in nature. This is a cracked glass, and there you see the lines are black. The lines are black. And the next slide, the lines are white. It's the same glass. Next. There, the lines are white. So if you look into the glass from the outside, it's one way. If you look from the outside in, it's another way. But anyway, it looks like a spider's web. Here, the next slide, and it is a spider's web. We're looking at radial lines now in nature. Here we see some radial lines. You know, when you take Kodachrome slides, the instructions say never shoot color film after 4 o'clock in the afternoon and never shoot into the sun. So one day when no one was looking, I shot into the sun around 8 o'clock in the evening through this broken piece of glass. And it's kind of fantastic. Next, and this is radial lines too. We're looking at radial lines now. This little gnat, you know, poppy. Here we have radial lines. Next, this is a piece of sculpture done by a young lady in New York City. And it's made out of canvas and wire. And these black things are holes. And you look into these little caverns. Now, that has about the same effect that we've been looking at, these kind of radial lines. Here are some holes. This I took in the back of the art annex last winter. This was an old stove that was back there. And those holes are where the stove pipes go into. And when I saw this snow pile on the stove, I was reminded of, next, the sculpture by Barbara Hepworth from England. She carves out of wood, and she has these shapes that have holes in them. Next, here we have depressions in snow made by footprint, by feet. Same kind of depressions. Next. Here are some footprints that I made outside of the auditorium here one winter. This slide and next slide are done the same day. Everything is the same. This slide here, the depressions are white or light, and the snow is dark. I think you'll all agree that that's true. Now watch next slide. Next, depressions are dark, and the snow is light. So is snow white or isn't it? I think you guess by now that depends upon a point of view. How do you look at snow? Do you look at it into the light or with the light? And you get two different effects. It's not the same. Anyone know what this one is? Block of salt. That's right. This is cow sculpture. The cows licked that. Next, this is sculpture by Henry Moore. A British sculptor. Next. Here are some curved forms, plants. Next. Some more curved forms. Next. Here's somebody cleaned out a paintbrush on an old window screen that was lying on the ground. And look at the very staccato-like lines. Imagine somebody trying to paint something like this. Next. Painting by Mondrian. Very kind of abstract painting using curved lines and straight lines. The next picture is very similar to this look. All right, next one. This is a picture of a house they tore down on Main Street in the Seward, Nebraska recently. Look at the little narrow lines, the curved lines, the wide lines. Looks very much like that abstraction we saw before. Next. Again, kind of a geometry, horizontal lines, vertical lines, horizontal reds, a wide, narrow. Looks very geometric. Next. This is a painting by Mondrian who uses lines, a kind of a mathematical approach toward art. So there is a similarity between that building and this. All right, this is, again, we have a kind of a geometry, horizontals, verticals, boxes. This is a manhole cover in Seward with a little rust in it. Next. Now we're looking at a kind of a geometrical organizations now. This is down in the Hughes plant, looking at the ends of the lumber. Have a kind of a pattern of wood. Next. Again, you can go down to the Hughes plant and go from pile to pile and see different effects all the way down the line. Next. Next. Just piles of lumber. Next. This one and the next one are of steel at some building site on a campus here, at some dormitory building. And here you see the subject is steel, but all the lines are horizontal. Horizontal lines. This is very peaceful and kind of quiet. The next one, you see, the effect is altogether different. You couldn't call this quiet and peaceful at all. It's because the lines now are diagonal. And it's the effect. Lines make a difference. That's why I had you do the curved lines, swoopy lines, fat lines, all those. Lines can produce effect. It's how they're arranged. So it's not a matter of that you're painting a still life or landscape or whatever that's going to make the difference, but how you finally arrange the lines or the shapes or the colors. And I think these two slides are proof of that. Next. And this is an old rusty barrel downtown, shining in a setting sun. Next. This is looks like an abstract painting in an art gallery. This is a front end of a corn picker. Front end of a corn picker. Took this downtown at one of the lots where they sell farm machinery. Just look at that. Little dots, big dots, diagonal lines, curved lines. It's beautiful in its geometric look. And here's a painting by Kandinsky showing little circles, big circles, diagonal lines. In fact, compositionally, this has very much in common with the corn picker I just showed you. Next. Here are just round things. I like to save round things. Next. Here are round things. Barrels piled up. Look at all the dots. Look at the two red dots. Next. When I mention the word tomato, what do you think of? I think most of you think of red right away. Red tomatoes. But look how long tomatoes are green. As soon as tomatoes become red, people eat them. You know, they disappear. But look how long they're green. And somehow we shut off or turn off green tomatoes. You know, we just never think of green tomatoes. And I'm just showing you the slide. I'm asking you to look at green tomatoes. Next. This is an old Dixie cup I picked up on the street. And imagine about 500 cars driving over this little cup. And finally it turns to fur. It's a weird texture. Okay, could we put the next rack on? Maybe I'll come back then. Okay, now this is the second rack. This is a squashed fruit can or juice can I picked up on the street. I pick a lot of flat things off the street. They're nice to glue down in a collage or whatever, you know, if they're flattened out like this. Next, this is a side of a railroad car downtown. It's kind of a collage, you know, where they staple all the little notices on. Next. Does this... Yes, grain elevators. But somehow, when you first see it, you can see that little black line you never think of. Somehow we always look at grain elevators side from the side view, and we hardly ever look at it this way, and so it becomes a kind of a strange shape. Next. Some more ice, you know, just ordinary ice in the gutter. Next. This looks like Times Square or New Year's Eve, or looking into the headlights or whatever. Thank you. You'll never guess what this is, even if I kept you after school. I was in Jesse parking lot one day, and I picked up an old pack, a used pack of Pall Mall cigarettes, and there was a little dew the night before. And there's this trap dew between a cellophane and a pack of cigarettes, and I took a shot of it. That's all it is. You know, it's kind of fantastic to see that in that old beat-up pack of cigarettes. This looks like some woven material made out of linen or whatever. It looks like a veil you'd wear at a wedding, or maybe make a dress out of this. It looks like woven material. This is scum in a gutter downtown. Scum, oil, grease. And I was on my hands and knees taking this picture, and somebody came by and asked me what I was doing. What do you say to a guy like that? Okay, next. This is a printed circuit of a back of a TV set. You know, it's kind of an interesting pattern that we can see. Now, the next couple of slides look very much like this. Look at the little lumps and the little lines. Next. These look like little trees growing in the winter. This is the window of a tavern downtown next to the barber shop or on that street. Across from the dime store, there's an old tavern. And there's a busted glass in front. Every time I walk by on that street, I see those little trees growing out of the winter snow. Next time you're by there, take a look at it. This is a termite-eaten piece of wood. Next. Anyone know what this is? Inside of a car carburetor. Car carburetor. It looks like the printed circuit we looked at before. Next. This is the floor or the decking of my studio, the wood decking. And I came to work one day, and I looked at the wood, and there was a frost the night before. And I looked at all those little lines in there of frost. It was a beautiful kind of modern painting. And I thought of Jackson Pollock, the painter who just kind of dribbles his paint on a canvas. And I thought there was a very close similarity between that decking that morning and this Jackson Pollock painting. Next. These are just this grass in a ditch after a snow. You know, people think of beautiful snowscapes when they go to Aspen or Rocky Mountains or something. There's snow all over the place. Look at the snow in a ditch. Look at the snow you walk on. You know, this kind of snow, it's beautiful. You don't have to go all over the world to find that kind of beauty. Next. Just plants growing in our backyard. Look at the very stately stem, the one on the left with that little shoot growing off on the side. A beautiful line. What dignity there is to that form. Next. And these are just the weeds that stick to your stockings in the summertime. But growing against this combine here, produces a very beautiful effect. Next. This is... Look at those nice shapes and forms. This is an old metal tin can I fished out of a fireplace. You know, and the fire had burned a label on it. But you sometimes wonder where artists get their ideas or where they get some of the forms and shapes. Well, I can tell you that they're getting them right from nature, and they're doing a lot of looking. Next. This is a broken window. Looks like grass, but it's a broken window in a car. Or it looks like a drawing. This looks like broken glass. It's really the tree in front of our house last winter. This looks like a tree. It's really a little plant growing up in that shed of ours in our backyard. Those little tiny little leaves were casting these big shadows. I was eating dinner one noon and I looked out the window and I saw those big shapes. I had to run and get the camera, take a picture of it, because I knew that the next day they wouldn't be there. This looks like a little plant growing, or underwater plant. That's a broken piece of glass. And this is a little dried up weed. Yeah, just a little weed growing in the back of our house. But that too has a nice simple dignity to it, that little leaf that curls up on top. Even that's worth looking at, just for the visual effect. This one and next one are of the sidewalk in front of our house. This is a crack in the sidewalk, and the point I want to make is that this slide and the next slide are both cracks in the sidewalk, but they're different. Now look at this, very dainty and delicate, and this, very strong and massive. You know, one is like the sound of a violin, another one is the sound of the bass drum. You know, the visual effect is different. You can't say that these two slides are the same. Next. This is I took this winter of some little weeds growing out of the snow, and there is a bent piece of weed that makes a big arch over it. Next. This is our bedroom window one winter. Now, it looks very modern. This is old Jack Frost's handiwork. Now, was Jack Frost always a modern painter, or what? What is modern? And I say that Jack Frost always has been doing these modern things on our bedroom windows. You know, these straight lines and all these abstractions. This is a painting by Feininger, who uses straight lines, this church spire, and the sky, and the water in the background, and the buildings in the foreground. Looks very much like Jack Frost. Next. These three slides, this slide, the next two, are similar in the way they look. This one is, look at the lines, the way the lines spray off to the left. This is me washing the car one summer's day. Next. This is a picture of a watercolor by a contemporary German artist. There you have the lines spraying off to the left again. And this is the inside of a pig pen looking out. And there you see the lines going off to the left again. They all three have something in common, that the lines were the same. Next. Anyone know what this is? Those are old corn stalks. You know, you've seen corn stalks. They bend over finally. This was after a flood in Seward at sunset, and all those little stalks of corn were bent over. And then, of course, the light creates a reflection and a diamond shape. Those are just corn stalks. But if you look at that as an abstraction, what if I made it out of wrought iron and hung it from the ceiling and put that in a gallery and called it the aftermath or something like that? You know, would you look at it or would you turn it off? Next. These are some more dots, you know, pilings, piers, pink dots. Next. Some more circular forms. Now, you might see garbage cans here. Now, I didn't take it because of garbage cans. I took it because of the discs of white on top of the cans. Now, the next one shows garbage cans, only the lid's off. There you see, you have a different effect. You have looking into the space. Next. Now, the next one is a slide of a modern building somewhere in the United States. And I'm not saying that the architect was inspired by garbage cans. I'll let you decide for yourself. But I say that there's a similarity between this outdoor restaurant design and the garbage cans we just saw. Can you see a similarity between those two? Looks like a bunch of garbage cans. But it's nice. Next. I flew over Texas last year, and I looked out the window. I couldn't believe my eyes. I saw all those round fields. I thought people always plowed their fields in a square, rectangular way, but in Texas, I guess Texans have to be different all the time. But they have round fields. I just couldn't believe my eyes. And it looked like a big modern abstract painting. And when I saw Texas from the air, I thought of the paintings by Mr. Ortman, who has decided to use the strong symbols, rectangles, circles, squares, crosses, arrows, and so forth. I think there's a strong similarity. Next, piece of sculpture by Brancusi, made out of chrome. Looks very much like, next, this little dewdrop on a cobweb in our garden. Now, would you wear that as a piece of jewelry? I think you would. It's a beautiful thing. Now, the split second after I took this picture, it dropped in the ground and disappeared. You know, just that split second. And I think it's kind of nice that there was at least one person who saw that. You know, just one. Next. A basketball. Next. This scale doesn't weigh people anymore in a bathroom, but when I looked at it in a city dump one day, it never looked better. Next. This is called Automobile. What would you say if you went to an art gallery and saw this painting and it was titled Automobile? Would you condemn the artist or what? This is a car parked in front of a tavern at night, and the neon lights are shining on a fender. But the fact is, it's still Automobile. Next, children's crayons. Next, just a piece of wood. Next, farm machinery after the grain has worn through the metal many, many times. You get all these spooky shapes. Next. This is a garage door in the city of Seward. And every time I go by this house, I have to laugh. Because he doesn't realize that lettering is a matter of putting the right letters together and being able to read it. Now, you know, the door is divided up in little panels, see? And he's trying to put four letters in each panel, see? And it doesn't work. You just don't letter that way. All words aren't four-letter words. I'm glad. But the lettering says, please use east door, see? But because, I mean, it just doesn't come off. So this maybe says something about putting letters together. All right. This is a picnic table in our backyard in the winter. Isn't that nice? Next. A little plant growing on the railroad track. You know, all by itself, this tiny little plant. Next. This and the next one are a peeling paint. And the same picture, only I just tilted the board a little bit. Now watch. Look at one of these little shapes. I just watch it, and you look at the next one. Changed. Next. This looks like a building. It's the top of a post. Next. This is a remnants of a burned-out building. And the next one, next, is a painting by Franz Klein from New York, who painted with black paint and white canvas. And I would say the effect is about the same, you know, the effect of this and the effect of the other. Next. I'm going to cut our tree out in the backyard last year because of Dutch elm disease. I took this shot mainly because of the line, you know, the wide lines, narrow lines. It looks like a Japanese drawing. Next. The boys and I picked peeling paint off of old buildings downtown one day. When we came back, we got the magnifying glass out and looked at them. This is what we saw. Looks like a mosaic. Next. This is lettuce in the garden. You know, nothing from Hawaii or something like that. Just lettuce. Next. These castor beans look good in the summertime, but even when the first frost hits it and it starts to die, it might even have a moment of glory if you are there at the right time. Next. This is a tree on our campus. Between here and College Avenue, there's this weeping birch tree. And this summer's day was orange because the sun was setting and this green tree was orange. There you see the sky. Now this looks very much like a landscape also. The blue sky on top, and then this looks like fall and the leaves of the trees. This is an old barrel with rust on it. It's not a tree at all. It's an old barrel with rust on it. A piece of sculpture done with a welding torch. A lot of this is being done today. Very angular forms. Next. This looks like welded sculpture. Looks like some sculptor took steel and cut it up in smaller pieces, and there are the melted, molten lumps of metal. This is a cactus plant. You know, what came first? The modern artist? The modern sculptor? Nature? What? You know, this looks very modern, I think. Somehow nature is always so up to date. This is the last slide. I suppose now that you've seen all the slides, could you guess what this is? This looks like National Park, Zion National Park, or something like that. Anyone want to guess what it is? No, not termite wood. Yes, it's a little pile of sand, 5 feet high, along the railroad track, and I got on my, lay down on my stomach, and shot into the air, and created this national monument. Are there any questions? We have just, I know it went the whole hour. Are there any, did I make my point? Yes.
How did you get your close-ups?
Close-ups, of course, I use close-up lenses. I use different lenses. The college owns other lenses besides the one I have on my camera, so it is possible to use different telephoto lenses. But I've done a lot of experimenting with the close-up lenses rather than the telephoto. I'll maybe say more about it about these slides some other time. But I think you finally get the message then that maybe it's your fault you're not getting through to modern art. Maybe you actually see it differently. This is the way I see my backyard and my world. And the slides I showed you this morning are the things that I like to see. That's why I know I travel around quite a bit, but not because I have to, but because I travel around because I have to, not because I want to. Personally, I don't like to travel. I don't like to leave Seward. And because there are so many things to see, and I think these slides this morning show all the things that I see. When it snows, I get the biggest urge to grab my camera and go out somewhere and get some nice winter shots, you know? And I say, why should I leave the house? You know, so I stay in my garden. I find nice winter shots in my garden because really, beauty—if beauty is anything at all—it's all over. I don't think that God would ever create man and say, "All right, I'm going to give a couple of you people special privileges. I'm going to give you a lot of money, and you can go and travel around the world to find beautiful things. And the rest of you are stuck with living in a little town somewhere, you know, that kind of thing." I don't think man is that way. I think every person has the potential of enjoying the world and seeing beautiful things. And I don't think that the person who has a lot of money who can go over to the Alps or Hawaii or Bahamas or wherever you want to is seeing beautiful things at all. If he's seeing beautiful things, it's only superficial. You know, he just says, oh, it's nice, or it's nice, or it's nice. But is he really seeing beautiful things? I claim that the slides I showed you this morning is more the essence of what beauty is, really. I think this is really what beauty is, you know, the things I showed you, shapes, forms, colors, combinations of things, patterns, the way light shines on things. If you can see that kind of beauty, then you're really seeing beauty. Other kinds of beauty have to do with money, you know. I like it because it costs a lot. You know, like women will say, I like diamonds, and they claim they like them. I claim that you couldn't tell the difference between diamonds and a piece of cut glass. You really couldn't. You just like diamonds because they cost a lot. And people automatically like something that's costly. You know, that's beautiful, that's good. If it doesn't cost a lot, see, a lot of people don't like my slides because it's so common, ordinary things, you know, just grass, just wood. How can that be beautiful, see? Because it doesn't cost a lot. And I claim that's more at the essence of beauty, really. Time's up. So this is, we'll discuss this a little bit more. We'll be talking about composition and color and looking this week and next week. Don't forget to do your research on those artists that I gave you the other day.